Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I am so glad that we are all able to be together in our Father's presence this morning to receive the message about His Son and the Holy Spirit using that message to grow us in our faith. It is an amazing celebration, festive day every single day of every single week. But it doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes when we are gathered together here, we feel like we don't belong because we've done stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, things we've done, things we've failed at, things we're just not living up to. We feel like, I'm glad we can come into the house of God, but I don't know if I really belong here. And it is exactly why we begin our worship service every week, by remembering our baptism. Because this is how the devil likes to work. He leads you into sin. He tempts you. He tells you about how wonderful it'll be if you just give in and go ahead and just do it. It'll be great. And then as soon as you do, he says, I can't believe you did that. Jesus died on the cross for you, forgave you all your sins, and you went and did that. How awful are you? And we start to believe that we don't belong to God anymore. And we have to remember our baptism, because it was on that day that God adopted us into His family. By divine decree, we have become a child of God. And it isn't something that anybody can take away from us. If God gives it to us, we have it. And that faith that we are given, through that faith we are given, we receive forgiveness. And so it is so essential that at the beginning of the service that we remember why we can be here. We can be here because on one day the Holy Spirit came into us through the gift of baptism. So let us remember that gift of baptism this morning as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.
Oh Lord, I thank you that we can come and celebrate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we turn to you with all that we have, which is nothing. And yet you give us everything. You forgive us our sins and you pour into us. You give us your Holy Spirit. So this day I pray that you help us to focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Forever echo home. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to share the first scripture reading with you this morning. From the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, verses 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And so he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath.'" Thus concludes the first scripture reading.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
And I would like to invite my two pastor friends to come up with me for just a second. Something back here. So if you guys want to kind of turn around, I'm going to have the pastors show us something. Because they're good guys, they're pretty smart, they're pretty strong, they know how to do stuff, right? So, giggle. What I'm going to have them show you is something about part of one of the verses that they just read, and it talks about the power of God in us. So what I would like them to do to show you that it's really hard is I would like them to show you that it's really hard to make a stack of 10 Fruit Loops. Okay? No, it's supposed to be hard. So they're going to show you, just go ahead, take 10 and set them, just a single stack of 10 Fruit Loops. All the way up. Oopsie. Oh, it fell down. Oh, it was a bad, yeah. Blame it on the Fruit Loops. It's defective.
Okay, stay there.
Let's give them a hand, they tried. So, you guys can sit down. Do you think that was hard? Thank you very much. That was kind of hard, right? But I have some super Fruit Loops. I want you to see my Fruit Loops are amazing. They're very talented. They probably went to yoga class. And I'm going to show you My Fruit Loops. How many am I got? Can you count that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have amazing Fruit Loops. They are so talented.
No.
Yeah. Do you think I could do more? Yeah. So my Fruit Loops are really, they're amazing Fruit Loops, aren't they? They can even stand on their head. So are my Fruit Loops better?
No.
Did my Fruit Loops do this by themselves?
No.
They didn't?
They didn't. We had a pipe cleaner.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Can I sit down? Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So is it the Fruit Loops that are amazing or what's in the Fruit Loops?
In the Fruit Loops.
Something inside those Fruit Loops made them powerful, didn't it? Have you ever heard anybody say anything like, I am the fastest runner? Or, I had the best math grade. Stuff like that. Sometimes we forget that all those gifts and all those abilities and talents we have, are they us? Or are they something in us? Yeah, what is that?
Jesus.
Yeah, God is in us. He made us. And all those gifts are from Him. So it's not just us, because on our own, you saw the Fruit Loops on their own, not very good, not very good. But these Fruit Loops have the power in them. Isn't that amazing that God lives in us? So here's another thing. Do you guys ever have, like, mom and dad say, time to come in, or it's time to put the game away, you got to stop now, and then you don't stop? Does that ever happen? Yeah. Does God live in us even when those bad things happen?
Yes.
Yes. And God's Son, Jesus, died on the cross so that when we do those things that aren't great, we can be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit lives in us and reminds us, you know what? You can go tell mom you're sorry. You can ask for forgiveness. And mom will forgive you. And I forgive you too. Because God lives in us. And the power that we have when we're doing great things comes from God. When somebody says, that was an amazing race you just did, you can say, I am so glad God gave me that talent. And then when things don't go so great, you can say, God, I'm sorry. I know you live in me. I know the Holy Spirit is reminding me that Jesus forgave me. And we can go on and try again next time. Isn't that amazing? God's pretty powerful. Even helps us stand on our heads. Will you fold your hands with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me life and living in me. Thank you for your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. We're done. That's all there is. You guys are awesome. All right. Well, my friends, I've got a very important announcement to make this morning, something that I'm sure none of you know. I don't always get everything right. If you've been here more than 10 minutes, you probably know that already. God has gifted me with flaws that I can't hide. There's no way to do it. There are some people who, like, when they get into their flaws and they see the things that they don't get right, they can deceive and lie and try to hide it and make everybody think that they're so much better than they actually are, but I can't do that. All my problems are on the outside. I apologize. But I would feel really insecure about this, but I grew up in the church. I mean, my dad's a pastor, right? And not only that, I remember my dad going to seminary, because he went to seminary when I was alive and walking around and stuff. And so, you know, I got to see my dad's, not just my dad, but all my dad's friends. And let me tell you a secret, those people are messed up. And not only that, but I also got to see the professors who taught all of my dad's friends and my dad. And you know what? You get a whole bunch of really gifted, smart people together discussing something that matters a lot to them, and you know what they're going to do? Fight. I mean, drama all over the place. And if that wasn't enough, I'm a pastor. I also have friends. And let me tell you something about them. They're messed up. And I also went to seminary, and there was a whole different set of professors who taught me. And all of them were messed up. And so my big question for you today is, with this many messed up people in leadership positions, is it any wonder that the church is a disaster? Except that there's a weird thing about that. Paul was messed up. He says so in the text today. You know, he talks about himself being nothing but a clay pot. I mean, weak, fragile, doesn't hold very much, doesn't have that many purposes and uses. And Paul wrote all this stuff 2,000 years ago. So as messed up as all these people are, something is working. And the question is, how can this all work? And I think the really important thing that you got to understand here is this, is that the value of a container is not the container. One of my dear friends, Don Barker, who I still miss so badly all the time, was a packaging engineer. And I love to joke with him that his life's work was discarded within the first 10 minutes of purchase. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, there's nothing, it just gets thrown away. It's not the point. The point is what's in the package, right? I mean, an empty spaghetti jar, you know, spaghetti jar, sauce jar, is not very valuable unless you can use it to put something else in. But all by itself doesn't have much of value, right? And so the question is, what good is a flawed person to lead a bunch of people? And the answer is not too much, unless there's something inside. You know what I'm saying? And the question is, what is it that I have to share with you? And this is incredible. Because what I have to share with you is nothing short of earth-shattering, amazing, and life-changing. It is something that has split time in two. We even count from the day or from the time the event of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and we count time forward and backward from that point, because that point changed everything. Everything that came before Jesus was pointing forward to Jesus. Everything that comes after Jesus is pointing back to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And Jesus is the message that I get to share with you. I get to tell you on a weekly basis about the Father who loves you, who created you, who provides for you. And when you fell into sin, when you were no longer able to be saved, the Father worked out a plan of salvation for you so that you would not be lost forever. And then I can tell you about Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is co-equal with the Father from eternity. It's the most amazing thing in the world. And he willingly, because he loves you so much, willingly left heaven, a perfect place, and was born to live on this earth in sin and poverty. He wandered around without a place to live. He just stayed wherever, slept in fields, slept with people if somebody would offer him a room. He didn't have any place to call his own. It was not a glamorous ministry that Jesus had. I mean, now there is like there's churches at significant locations in Jesus's life. You know, there's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is built on the grave of Jesus. And there's churches like, it's like now Jesus is greatly honored and there's gold covered stuff marking where he was, where he did significant things. But when he was on earth, he didn't have anything. But he did it because he loved you. And then he took your sin upon himself and paid the entire penalty for your sin, died for it, made it so that you did not owe anything for all the stuff you had done wrong. He paid the full penalty. And he gives you credit for his perfect life. And then God is not done yet. But now then Jesus and the Father sends the Holy Spirit into the world on Pentecost. And now that Holy Spirit is with that still small voice, the whisper, the shy member of the Trinity is turning the world upside down. As he works in the hearts of the people through his word and changes people and helps people and grows people and makes people, it delivers to people the forgiveness of sins that the Father planned and that Jesus walked out. This is insane how amazing that message is, that the people who had no hope have hope. The people who had no purpose now have purpose. We have meaning. We have value. We know we do because Jesus died for us. And if we'd had no value, why would he have done that? And so now here we are. We are in this place where we can hear this message of Christ. And, you know, a decent mechanic can fix stuff with good tools, right? A really good mechanic can fix stuff with the wrong tools. It takes an exceptional mechanic to use broken tools. And God uses me. That's insane. You know, when I first learned this lesson is when I was on my vicarage, my 1-year internship. I was at a Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota, and my pastor, I was the last vicar he had before he retired. His name was Paul Fotenhauer. He was a grumpy old man. And I mean, I'm not saying he was just a grumpy old man. He was a very gifted speaker, and he was a good guy, and he was, you know, he loved his people, he loved the Lord, and he wanted to draw people closer. But in between all that, he was a really grumpy old man. And it was hilarious because I stood back and I watched this grumpy old man go around, be a grumpy old man, and the church was blessed through him. And it wasn't because of him. It was because the God who was in him and the God who spoke through him, the God who gave him words to say so that his people could be blessed, and then the Spirit who took those words and works and changes the hearts of people. Folks, there are so many people in this world, and it just mystifies me. They go to a church and they say, I don't like that church. The pastor talks too much, or he's kind of boring, or, you know, he's disorganized, or I don't know, something. And the thing is that then they wander off to another church, and I'm always fascinated by that, because the question is, are they ever going to find the perfect pastor? I mean, there's some people who go to a church and they only stay there long enough to get to know the pastor, because once you get to know them, you see that they're not perfect. And I guess then it's time to try another church because you're going to find somebody there. The thing is this. Here's the big thing. None of us are perfect. The only reason we have anything to offer you is because we have this message of salvation that our God has given us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And I'll go a step farther. I mean, maybe going a step farther than God is unwise, but I'm going to go there anyway. We're broken pots. And you know, there are different containers. And I think sometimes Christians are like pill bottles. You know the difference between a clay jar and a pill bottle? A pill bottle is much more protective. If I have a headache and I get up in the middle of the night to get some Tylenol or ibuprofen or whatever, and I go to the pill bottle in the dark, what do you have to do? You have to get the lid off of the thing, right? In the dark. Yeah, good luck. It's childproof, which works for me too. And you're sitting here with a headache, wanting to go back to sleep, fighting to get the medicine out of the bottle, and it doesn't want to give it up. And I think that sometimes that's how Christians are, that we are not clay pots, we're not fragile, we're not leaking. Instead, we're all sealed up. And we have the message of Christ in us, but we aren't sharing it with anybody. We protect ourselves and we protect what's in us, man. We keep it safe. It is not going anywhere. But that is not the purpose of the container. What God wants us to do with that love and forgiveness that he is pouring into us is he wants us to be spilling it all over the place. And what better vessel than a cracked pot? We can't keep anything in us, because we are constantly leaking all over the place. You understand how this is supposed to work? And practically, it actually does work. Because here's the thing. If I come in here and I try to deceive you into thinking that I somehow have my act together, right? I can't teach you effectively what to do with sin, what to do with weakness. And the problem with that is everybody is going through life experiencing sin and weakness, right? So if I have put my act together, I can show you how to be perfect, but that doesn't help you because you're not perfect, right? Even if I could hide all my weaknesses, even if I could get away with it, it would be the wrong way to do ministry. The right way to do ministry is this: show you what it is to be weak. Show you what it is to live in the grace of God. Show you that even though I trip over my words and miss something in the service or forget to take the offering, although the finance people are not okay with that, but if I do make these mistakes and I just fall short of perfection, but then I continue to do ministry, I can show you what it means to receive grace. Because you guys need grace as much as I do. And I think that there's something that happens also, because I think that Christians have that same inclination as pastors. You know, that when we're weak, when we're flawed, we want to cover up our flaws. We want to not show our weakness, because after all, being Christian is all about having our act together. And is that true? Well, no. Does it do anybody else any good if our witness is be perfect like me? No. What if instead we were open and honest about our weakness? We didn't hide our flaws. And instead, when we show our flaws, we glory in the incredible grace and mercy of the God who died for us, so that we can show them what it means to live in grace. Now, I'm not talking about just giving up on all morality and sinning that grace may increase. I'm not talking about that. Of course, we are at war with the sin in our life. We're putting it to death constantly. As people who have received the grace of God, we do not want to bring dishonor to the one who saved us. We want to worship him with our lives and all of our decisions. And it grieves us when we fall short of his glory. The question isn't that. The question is, what do we do with the sin that gets through? What do? Are we going to hide it? Are we going to be honest about it? Come clean and receive grace and mercy. Continue to do the work of God in the world. Continue to speak. And we say, well, I'm not good enough. I've done too many bad things. I really shouldn't be God's ambassador in the world. And I say, I'm sorry if you're saying that. You're living in disagreement with God. Because God says, you are my ambassador. You have faith. You are one of my children. And because you're one of my children, you're supposed to be one of those people that as you go throughout the world, you're witnessing and you're sharing the gospel with the people around you. And that means showing them what it means to live in grace. And honestly, it's the only real way to live. We can pretend to be perfect if you can try to pretend you're perfect. But you can't fool anybody. We all know better. You may hide the specific sins, but it's not like we're all going to think that you're somehow getting it all right. So much better. Let us, instead of focusing on ourselves, focusing either in trying to show that we're perfect, fake it, spending all of our energy on that, or allowing our sin to stop us from doing ministry. Both of these are wrong. Ministry is all about taking your eyes off yourself, for good or for bad, and looking to Christ, getting your identity from him. Knowing that, it's funny, because I've heard so many pastors preach this message, this text, and so many of them talk about how worthless we are. And I'm like, well, that's not really true either, because who made you? So does he make worthless? Who redeemed you? Would he redeem something that's worthless? You're not worthless. You're valuable. You're precious. And God wants to use you. He wants to work through you to be a blessing to the people around you. He wants you to be able to be a walking example of receiving the grace of God. Scary? Try standing in front of people and doing it. No. The thing is this. When we can stop pretending, it takes such pressure off. When you can finally understand that the people around you are going to love you anyway, it is so amazing and freeing. And when you finally get it in your head just a little bit farther that Jesus forgives all your sin and that he carries you in your weakness, it's absolutely life-changing. And so, you are Christ's ambassadors. You are his witnesses. So go into the world. This week, have you noticed? There's something different in here. VBS is happening this week. We as a congregation get to serve. It's a whole bunch of flawed people getting together to help a whole bunch of flawed people. It's going to be an amazing, wonderful week. And I can't wait to see what God does this week. But I want all of you to be praying. If you can't be here to help, be praying. Because this is our ministry calling you doing this. And then Friday, I'm not even going to be here next Sunday, okay? Friday, we're going on the Arizona mission trip. eight high school kids and four adults. We're going to go down to Arizona and we're going to be doing, we don't know what yet. We'll find out when we get there, I guess. And we'll be roofing or insulating or drywalling or laying concrete block or pouring concrete, or we'll do something. But be praying for us, because this is your ministry. This is your church that's going out into the world to do this work. And as we go, we're going to be looking for opportunities to share that grace, to share that message. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for loving us and for bringing us into your family, Lord, for covering us with your forgiveness, Lord, for bringing us into this relationship. Lord, I pray that we would be able to just show people what it means to live in your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand. We continue with the shared confession of our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This time we have a couple commissionings that are going to be taking place. We're going to start with our Vacation Bible School commissioning. So I invite everyone who's involved with that to come forward for commissioning.
Let me clarify. I want everybody who had anything to do with decorating the church to come forward. I want everybody who had anything to do with teaching the children. I want any children who are going to be attending the VBS. Who else is going to be here? If you're feeding snacks, if you're doing lessons, if you're doing art or crafts, if you're doing There's a lot of different parts to this Vacation Bible School, isn't there? And so let's all of us come forward here. All right, my friends, are you ready? Because ready or not, here they come, right? Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have over 300 little wonderful people in this building, and we're going to be trying to be crocked pots and splather God's love all over them. And so as we do so, let's take a minute and remember why it is we're doing this. We're doing this because not only does God love everybody, God specifically loves children. Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. Then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them, and Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And then he placed his hands on them, and he went from there. And so here's the thing, is that we take time out of our crazy, busy, nutsy lives to take care of these children because God loves them so very much. And we know that it is our role as God's church to pass the faith on to these young people. And so as we are here, are you guys ready? Do you receive and accept the responsibility of doing this incredible work in God's name? Excellent. Y'all, you're not out of this. This is our church. You know, when we talk about St. Mark's, I don't want you to think about a building. I don't want you to think about some 501c3 organization. I want you to be thinking about y'all, all of you. You are the church. This is your ministry. You owe a duty to them to pray for them, to support them and to help them in any way you can. Do you accept this responsibility?
Yes.
Outstanding. Very good. With that, let us pray and let us ask God's blessing on this week. Heavenly Father, Lord, such an amazing ministry that you have given us, Lord, and the opportunity to reach out and to touch the lives of so many children and so many families. Lord, I pray that you would work mightily through this week, that your love would be evident, that it would show through us, it would show through our smiles and our lessons, it would show through the word that we share with them, it shows through our prayers, it shows through the songs and the crafts, through the snacks, and every other element or facet of this ministry. Lord, I pray that you would use this to grow faith, to encourage faith, and to help, Lord, these little children to have a lifelong relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. But you got to come back tomorrow morning. Don't leave me here alone. No.
All right. So now we have another commissioning for those who are going on the youth mission trip. As Pastor Bob mentioned earlier, you're leaving Friday and can be gone for a good while. And so anybody who is involved with the youth mission trip, I invite you to come forward now at this time. Any of the youth, any of the adults who are going. So a verse to keep on your minds as you travel here soon, from Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's been ascribed to St. Francis of Assisi, but it's uncertain who said this first, but it's a quote, "Preach the word of God always. If necessary, use words." And I want to put that on the forefront of your mind as you are embarking on an important mission, an important thing, as you are going out and serving other people. The very acts that you do in care for others communicate the goodness that God loves them, that God cares about them, that God desires a relationship with them. And if necessary, when the opportunity arises, use words. So are you ready? Are you ready to go and serve? If so, say yes.
Yes.
Excellent. And similar to what Pastor Bob asked of the congregation, again, I asked the congregation, would you please pray for these people who are going on this mission trip?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't done talking, but yes, that's good. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. Thank you. I had more for you, but yes, just pray. Pray for them now, pray for them while they are gone, and pray for them when they get back. Pray that God would use them to proclaim his goodness to those who so desperately need it. Pray for their safety. Pray for their strength. Please pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all these individuals who are taking up this charge to go and serve others, that they're sacrificing time and energy and money to go and help people in need. Lord, I pray that you would speak through them, not just through their words, but through their actions, that those who they are serving would hear your message of truth, your message of love. Give them the energy to get up every day and to go and do what is required of them with joy and your song in their hearts. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you very much. You may go back to your seats. At this time, I invite the entire congregation to stand up as we continue on with the prayers of the day. Lord, we are in awe of your mercy. You are holy, and the stain of our sin means that we have no right to come to you. And yet you bid us to come, to confess our sins, and you remove the guilt of our sin. You make us holy, we who have done nothing to deserve that result. We pray that you would help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And Lord, you have made us vessels. You filled us with your Spirit, with your truth, and with your hope. Help us to share what you have given for us and to us with the people walking in darkness, so desperately in need of your light. And lastly, Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to have Vacation Bible School this week. I thank you for all the kids that you have brought here. And I just pray that you would guide them, that they would know every day how you are their friend. I pray that you'd be with the volunteers who are offering up their time and their energy, their talents. Let them have joy in everything that they do in service to others. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy, precious name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Your presence, Lord. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Please be seated for a second. First of all, children, children going to Sunday school, if you guys want to head out at this time, Miss Lauren is waiting for you in the lobby. She will take you off to Sunday school. The rest of you, in anticipation of Vacation Bible School, we need to get the Bibles out of the pews. Children are not gentle. So basically the way we're going to do it is after the service, if you guys would help us out, all the Bibles on this side need to go into the cry room and all the Bibles on this side need to go into the prayer chapel. And, what is that? Oh, the sign-in sheets. Let's leave the sign-in sheets for now because the ushers have to come around and pick them all up. They'll grab the papers and then the ushers can take them out of here then at that point then. That'll work out. And there was the other thing we need to do here then. Oh, we have an anniversary. The Bishes, Rich and Diane Bish are going to be celebrating their 61st wedding anniversary. Excellent. All right. Very good. In that case, then, God's blessings on your week, and thank you for helping out, and thank you for praying for us all while we go crazy the next couple weeks.